I want to start off by introducing a member of the Revolution Club right here at UCLA, a student who has bravely stood up against Mnuchin, against, you know, the Zionism on campus, against what we're here to talk about tonight, against all the woke things that masquerade as solutions to this system's nightmares. Someone who's dedicated their life and is part of this tour and is going to be going around the country with us to be part of building this revolution. Someone who's also facing charges for the role that she's played. She's faced serious repression. She's facing charges. She's faced surveillance by the campus police, if I'm correct. And she's going to share some words with you to start us off. So join me in welcoming Tala Deloria.
Hi, everybody. So I'm just going to do a brief bit on how I became a revolutionary communist, because that's not something that happens every day. We're working for it to happen every day, but it's not quite there yet. So I came to UCLA. Like, I'm a first-generation college student. My parents immigrated from Mexico. And I came in with a lot of illusions about what I was gonna do here and why I was here. I was an economics major and I wanted to be a stockbroker, which is very different than being a revolutionary communist. And my idea behind this was good-hearted. It was like, I'm gonna be a financial advisor to help my people, because somehow I thought the problem was that they didn't know how to manage money. I learned very quickly that that was not the case. But I came and I was taking classes, I was learning about things, I was sitting in my economics classes, and I was frustrated as hell, because one of the core principles of capitalist economics, which is of course all they teach you in this university, and that's all you get throughout the society, is that equality and efficiency have an inverse relationship. And everybody was just eating this up in my class, and I was like, what are you talking about? If you want efficiency under capitalism, then some people are gonna have to be at the bottom. And I changed majors very quickly, and I was looking for a club to be a part of. I was looking at all the different organizations on campus, and I appreciated the people, but all of these things were just looking at pieces of the problem. And I didn't fully understand it then, because I didn't have a full understanding of the system and how it keeps regenerating these horrors that we see that I was agonizing about. But it was like, you could be part of tutoring kids who are in juvenile detention so that they get some good grades, or let's help women after they're raped. And there was no sense of like imagining a world beyond all of these things. And I was kind of hungry for that. I wanted to fight against all of these things, but I actually didn't see the possibility of getting beyond them until I met the revolutionary communists on campus. It was just by chance. I was having lunch, and somebody was holding up a revolution newspaper, and they're like, fuck capitalism! And I was like, okay, this is interesting. So I went to the table, I listened to Bob Avakian, who's a leader of this revolution, and you'll hear more about him. And here were people saying, look, all of these things are a problem, they're connected, and we can do away with these things by making an actual revolution. And so this was mind-blowing to me. From the beginning, I felt like this was what I was seeking. This was different than the other clubs on campus. I was gonna join CalPERG, if anybody's part of that, no offense, but I was like ready to get like the internship, and I texted this woman. I was like, no, I met the revolutionary communists, and they say we can get rid of all of this, and I'm gonna be a part of that. They're doing something to get rid of pesticides here at UCLA to save the bees. Laudable, but look at what we're facing. So I felt like this is actually dealing with a problem. And I didn't become a communist overnight. It was, like many people, I didn't really know the history of America. I slowly began to hate this country for what it does all over the world. I learned about the conditions that Black people face in this country, which I knew nothing about. I learned about what it feels like to stand up with other people in protest against the outrages that happen. And through that process, and through reading more and coming to understand the underlying dynamics of why we face the extinction of humanity through global warming, why women are treated as sex objects and as breeders, why the patriarchy exists, why white supremacy exists, the five stops that we have over here, I don't know if you all have seen them, but you should. I learned that these things cannot be reformed under the system of capitalism. And I became firmly convinced that this is what I had to dedicate my life to, because I did want to see these things gone. And I was a shy kid. I never imagined myself sitting up here in front of a panel talking to people, or being up on the stage, or getting up on a chair with a bullhorn in my hand. A friend of mine, when I was inviting her to this event, asked me, like, oh, do all the people in the Revolution Club have the same kind of personality? Because it seems like you have to be really courageous and brave and, like, outgoing to be a part of this. But I was like, no, there's a lot of transformation that happens. And mainly it happened because I came to understand that there was a need, a big void, where, well, one was I came to understand there was a viable solution. And I read Bob Avakian's works, and like I said, I was firmly convinced that reform was not going to cut it, and that we could really build a whole new society to do away with all of these things, a lot of which can be done away with on day one. And I was inspired by the vision of people working together to determine the direction of society in a positive direction, where you actually have the right to change the whole world in the Constitution. Which people should read. But I didn't start out this way. And not everybody who gets into this is gonna end up doing what I do. But I saw the need for people to step up and be the first. And that is a role that I am filling now. I am a part of this tour that's going all across the country. I'm gonna graduate this quarter, and then, like everybody else, I'm gonna put my life and my energy to really making advances through this tour. Like Noche was saying, building these networks that are gonna feed the revolutionary fighting forces in the future situation where we actually have to defeat these monsters. So yeah, I never imagined myself here. I was also talking to another friend of mine. She was saying, look, I think that we do need a revolution, but what I'm gonna do is just buy a plot of land out in the countryside somewhere and just live out the rest of my days until global warming catches up to us. And I feel like I see myself in a lot of the students here, because I was like a lot of the students here. But I think what made me get to the point that I am is understanding that there is a way out, which is what you're gonna hear from Lenny here. We can actually do something about this. And so when we're confronted with these two choices, either we live with all the horrors that we hate, they continue to happen, maybe we dedicate ourselves to some reform, join CalPERG to save the bees at UCLA, or join Doctors Without Borders and save some people, this system is gonna continue to destroy people's lives. And it's putting us on the brink of extinction. So although this question is something that's been faced by many people throughout history, I feel like right now it's a very sharply posed question. What are we gonna do? Are we gonna live with all of this, or are we gonna put ourselves to working on this problem together? Because we have some tools that we did not have even in the revolutionary movements of the 60s, where people were really putting their lives on the line and fighting back against the system and had some understanding of, look, reform is not the answer. We have that. And so because of the new threats that we're facing and because we have a solution, we have a responsibility to act with together with each other in whatever ways we can. And we will find the ways. Like I was saying, not everybody's going to play the role that I'm playing, but everybody has to play a role. So these questions are sharply posed, and I think my friend, who's a little bit cynical about the prospects for changing, she actually said she has no faith in humanity. Well, you have come to the right place, because I think what she is missing is the possibility to actually get somewhere else. That comes from a scientifically rooted understanding of how we can transform the whole world. I think that's where I'm going to end.